And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and we homeschool them, which means that we're trying to apply Deuteronomy 6:7, where to teach your children God's Word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. And as you read the Word of God, you're going to find that there is a distinctively biblical approach to raising our children, and a gender-specific approach to raising our children. That is, God designed boys to be boys and girls to be girls and boys to grow into men and girls to grow into women. I know that's a radically weird concept for those who are raised in the present culture where the vision for motherhood has virtually disappeared and 64% of children under 6 years of age are in latchkey conditions. And where there is so much delegation going on that mothers don't spend all that much time with their children much anymore. Of course, we're going through the man sessions. That is 95% of the jobs lost in the last recession were lost to men and she-coveries, which means that, well, about 75% of the jobs recovered in the present recovery have been recovered by women. Men are not doing what men are supposed to do, and women are not doing what women are supposed to do, and we'll just see how that experiment works out over the next 20 to 30 years. We'll see how a socioeconomic collapse happens when people effectively abandon a biblical vision for life. And so it's good from time to time to get back to the biblical vision and allow the gods of the copybook headings to limp up and explain it once more. And that's why we get back into the Word of God all the time in order to establish a biblical approach to life. And today, friends, we're going to talk about a biblical vision for womanhood. And this is such an important topic to us, to my family, because I'm raising four little women and one big man. And it takes a little bit of work to get back into the Word of God and not just read what the Bible says in Titus 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 2 in relation to what it is to be a biblical woman or a biblical man. But it's another thing to apply it, to incarnate those ideas. And you know, some people say, I agree with everything the Bible says. I'm big on biblical principle, but I just don't want to apply it. I don't really want to incarnate it at all. In fact, I agree with it all. I agree with the principles, but I just can't come up with a single application or implication that would flow from the principle. And friends, that's unacceptable. No, if you're reading the Word of God and the Bible actually does present a vision for womanhood and a vision for manhood, you've got to get out there and start incarnating it and living it by the grace of God. And of course, by faith. We don't do anything by faith. The just will live by faith. And that's essential for a biblical way of life, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have Sarah Bryant with us. And she's written a beautiful little book called The Family Daughter, Becoming Pillars of Strength in Our Father's House. And she will join me right now to talk about this important subject of biblical womanhood and how to grow into the woman that God wants you to be. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you.
Sure. I really have appreciated the little book you've put together, The Family Daughter. I'd like to recommend it to folks. It's got a lot of neat stories in it. It's not just you, but some of your friends have written as well. Why did you write the book to begin with?
Well, my parents have taught me to be a keeper at home. Through the years, I've treasured that dream. And I felt so inadequate, though, to be the daughter that the Bible lays out in that ideal picture. When I was about 16, the Lord began teaching me so much about honoring my father and that it's really in the small things that I can do, being found diligent in the little areas and the unique gifts he's given me and my family. I became so excited that it was something I could reach as a daughter right now in a young age. So at that age, the Lord laid on my heart to share with my friends that they can love their families and embrace every day they had at home. Hmm. And it was my desire to encourage young girls to take joy in their biblical roles. Mm-hmm. And the book took me about a year and a half to write, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord taught me through writing it.
So are you 18, 19 years old now?
I'm 20 now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you understand some girls emancipate at 17, 18, 19, 20 years of age as they leave the household. And they distance themselves from family relationships. They come back every other Christmas, if they ever come back at all. But you haven't done that. You just said you're still home. Here you are 20 years old. Why are you still home?
Well, that's the biblical plan the Lord has laid out in the Bible. scriptural demonstrates that daughters stay at home under their father's authority. And that really is the most joy-filled and success mission that the Lord's given us. And we can find such joy there in just serving our parents and loving our siblings. That's really amazing plan.
Have you ever wanted to leave home?
No, I'm really not.
Not really, huh?
So joyful.
So it's not as if your father has forced you to stay at home. You
no,
don't feel
he's
that
not.
Way.
Mm-mm. No, he's just taught me that daughters are most fulfilled at home, and that's where they can prepare to be a godly woman and help meet to a husband someday if that's what God wills. And so that's really given me a huge vision, and it's just something new to learn every day.
Mm-hmm. And so sometime you may actually leave home and get married. I mean, that's possible, you'll leave home. But it would be to leave and cleave.
Right.
To cleave to a husband, right?
Yes.
See, and that sounds biblical to me.
Yes, I believe it is.
There are cases out there where people emancipate. In fact, now it seems to me that the majority of young ladies are emancipating at 18 or 19 years of age. That is, they're just leaving home, and they're effectively on their own, financially, you know, economically, socially, emotionally. They're just out there.
Right.
Is that your sense of it?
I do see that, and it seems just to be the major. It just tears down the whole family and the whole system that God has wanted for us to do when daughters do not obey.
Mm-hmm. Are you content, do you think, to be home? Have you ever wrestled with contentment?
Oh, I do face discontentment. I think that's something we all do face at some times. The Lord has given me so many aspects, though, to reach out and to learn. There's something new, like I said, just every skill you can perfect and grow and serve, that really I don't have much time to wonder and to want to leave the home. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Well, the biblical vision for womanhood found in, you know, 1 Timothy 2, Titus chapter 2, and so forth. What has God taught you in some of these areas? I'm just going to read from 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner, also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, etc. What do you take from that?
I think the attitude that we girls have in modesty and the shamefacedness, all that has a huge impact on the men in our culture. And I think that's an important thing, that we women are focused on the Lord and really seeking to please Him through that. And that has been a struggle, of course, for me to have the right attitude in being modest, and then in keeping my brothers, my own brothers, and spiritually keeping them in my mind's eye as I dress and carry myself, just to keep their best interests, because the Lord calls us to be accountable one day before Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's not exactly the most popular message out there. You haven't seen too many clothing designers coming out with the shamefaced line.
Right.
You know, that's just not big out there these days.
Right.
And so you make your own clothes, or?
I do. I make a lot of ours. You can find them at thrift stores, different modest. There's been so many different home businesses you even started that make and sell home from the home. Other daughters that sew and treasure modesty.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we do like to design and sew a lot of our own clothing, and that gives a lot of freedom and modesty.
Okay, the verse also says, in like manner the women adorn themselves with good works. Okay, what does that mean? And I know you treat some of these things in your book, The Family Daughter. You are trying to engage in these good works. What does that look like in a home where a 20-year-old daughter is there?
Well, I think good works are the things we do to please the Lord Jesus. It's not really the work itself, I think, that is what pleases Him, but the attitude which you do it with. Just the day-by-day things, serving joyfully, washing the dishes without discontentment or daydreaming, and just being there to encourage your siblings and to honor your father and give a hug to your sibling that's, you know, having a hard day. Those little things, I think, are what honor the Lord and really adorn ourselves with the good works, which is what Jesus Christ calls us to.
How do you create loving, kind relationships at home, especially with your siblings? I'm guessing that some of your siblings are sinners, at least.
Right.
So
we all are.
How do you work those relationships?
Well, it takes so much of God's grace. I just think it's just the kind of the grease of God's grace that kind of, you know, oils our relationships. And really, I think it takes humility and true love, which is willing to not be puffed up and not demand my own way, just to give into their best interest, encouraging them spiritually. Also, I think a big thing the Lord's been teaching me is gentleness toward them, not being overly bossy or bearing in on them in a way that I don't need to, because I don't have the authority over them as an older sister. I'm just to encourage them in the Lord. And so I think gentleness is kind of encouraging them as a sister, not as a one in authority. That's something that I've had to learn a lot about.
I've met your family at the Kansas City Conference two, 3 weeks ago, and it seems like a very sweet family. It seems as if the siblings are getting along very well with each other, but I'm sure from time to time you have your squabbles.
We do, yes. And I attribute a lot of the unity that my siblings and I have together is just because our parents have really focused on our family and kind of eliminated a lot of outside influences that would deter from having unity. And so we love being around each other and just love to talk about things and enjoy life together. And we miss each other when we're not around each other. But that's by God's grace and our parents and encouraging that. So.
Well, Titus 2 says the aged women teach the younger women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Obviously, you're not exactly in that position. You're not married at this point.
Right.
But how can you prepare for this?
Oh, I think just sharing what God has taught through the word of God, I think that's important to share with others. Especially younger girls, that's been a burden God's put on my heart, but also our younger siblings. There's so many examples in the world that are not godly and do not honor God's biblical rule. So it's really important if the Lord's taught us from His Word that we can just reflect that and show the younger sisters in our church or whoever He's put in our path.
You know, one of the things I've noticed is that my oldest daughter has an amazing influence on the three younger daughters.
Right.
And I'm just, my wife and I are thrilled that she just loves them. She takes care of them. She prays with them. She talks to them all the time. Not in a bossy way, just in a real, you know, loving,
right,
friendly, sort of sisterly way. And it really helps. You know, it helps so much to be a body, you know, where we have all these members that are helping to build up the body in Christ, even in our little home here. Do you see yourself as part of that? I mean, are you the oldest sister?
I am the oldest sister, yes.
So you play that role in your home.
I do, and I've realized there is a huge influence I have on my siblings, and it's not always used in the best way, so God continually convicts me of that. But just as you were saying, the influence that I think a sibling has upon the other siblings just by talking and guiding them through, it's really neat. It's a different influence that the parents would have just telling the child to do a certain thing. But when the older sibling is there to kind of encourage that and support it, I think that adds so much weight to what the parents are trying to instill in those children.
Now, one of the requirements in Titus chapter 2 is that these ladies be obedient to their own husbands. And what we find for children is that they honor their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And here you are in the home, and you have a relationship with your father. You obviously run into him on a fairly regular basis because he's there. And how do you honor your father? Have you struggled in that area at all?
Oh, of course, yes. That's something I think women do struggle with, submission and honoring their authority. God's given authority to every woman, whether she accepts it or not. But I think the things we can honor our father are so little, it seems like, sometimes. Just having an attitude that is open toward pleasing him, being cheerful to do the small things that he would like, and honoring him and his preferences. Doing small things like fixing his favorite meal or packing his lunch or slipping a note in with a scripture on there, just encouraging. Those things are some of the, I think those are what are important, and the Lord really does bless those, that attitude just of submission that a daughter has meant toward her father.
Yeah, and I think so few sons and daughters know how to honor mother and father, especially in those teenage years, you know, when they're rolling their eyes and they're getting sarcastic and they're getting to hate their moms and dads, and they dishonor and dishonor and dishonor. I mean, that's the zeitgeist of the age. That's the spirit of the age.
Yeah. is.
And
yes.
And somehow we as Christians really need to break free from that, don't we?
We do. I think that's where our culture is really at the base. One of the huge ways that it is being crumbled is by the next generation not honoring their father's wisdom and their mother's, all that they've put into them throughout their life.
Now, in your book, The Family Daughter, you've got just a bunch of neat little stories from other sisters in Christ, other young ladies who
right.
effectively are in the same position you are. You know, they grew
correct.
Up in the home. They're looking to get married someday. What have you learned from some of these other sisters in Christ?
It's been so encouraging to know that, you know, the struggles I face as a daughter, I'm not the only one, and there are just hundreds and hundreds of young ladies out there who are honoring their fathers, and I am always challenged in a new way by each different young lady God's brought across my path to be renewed in the vision and to honor and honor and honor. It's something every day you have to think about to do, and so they have encouraged me greatly.
Hmm. Now, one of the things you deal with in the book is unhealthy eating habits. You know, I mean, hey, this is an important part of life, you know. I have a right-hand man over here, Peter Bringu, just wrote a book, by the way. In fact, you know, we all these young authors around here. It's amazing. He wrote a book on the biblical philosophy of food.
Right.
And so food is important, and we can use it rightly and use it wrongly. How do young ladies use it wrongly?
Oh, I think it seems so common just to fulfill the temporal desires or you know, the cravings that we might have. And the food that we feed our bodies is also going to affect our emotions and our feelings and the strength that we have to serve the Lord. The Lord taught me a lot about just making sure I'm getting the right proteins and nutrients that I need on a day-to-day basis and drinking enough water. Those things really affect, I mean, they sound temporal, but they affect so much that we can do for the kingdom of God in strengthening you know, our arms with strength, as Proverbs 31 says. So.
Yeah, exactly. And you get the wrong food, and it may actually have a negative effect on strengthening those arms and getting the work done in
right.
the home. And then you can get some unhealthy addictions going as well.
Right.
Some young ladies probably want to turn to food for comfort, that sort of thing. It's kind
right.
of common
and that leads to
days.
A lack of discipline, which leads to every area of life. And I see that in my own life, just a lack of discipline. In one area, it will lead to a lack of discipline in what is very important, which is devotion to the Lord, scripture memory, some of those things which do require devotion and discipline. If we don't discipline our bodies for what we're going to eat, you know, it will lead into everything else.
Ladies and gentlemen, the book is The Family Daughter, Becoming Pillars of Strength in Our Father's House. Sarah Bryant with me right now. And Sarah, have you heard about the quivering daughters, the where the vision just sort of implodes, and you have ladies out there who are raised in Christian homeschools, much as you were, but man, they react against it. They write books against it. They reject everything their dad's ever taught them about anything. You know, that's amazing to see that going on. It's really shocking. What is your thought about that? What grows in the hearts of some daughters? I don't need you to talk about any specific person, but what is it that grows in the hearts of some daughters that would produce unsavory fruit?
I think that is coming out of an attitude of rebellion toward their father's authority. And so if they're rebellious and do not want to submit to what he's teaching them, which in the situation you just mentioned is biblical and needs to be embraced, that requires God's grace in the heart to turn her heart to her father and her authority. Mm-hmm. But if she's going to rebel against that, she's going to want to turn against everything he's taught her and the correct way, which is God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lack of faith. I
right.
think there's just a tremendous lack of faith out there today where people, you know, what God calls us to do should never be attempted without faith.
Right.
You know, it's got to be scary sometimes for you. You know, your flesh doesn't understand why you are where you are. You may not appear to be gaining much ground in terms of the world's perceptions of what ground consists of.
Right.
Or it may not appear that you're getting any closer to marriage. And
right.
I'm sure you would like to be married at some point. So how do you live day by day?
Well, you trust the Lord. I see it as a huge opportunity these single years just to grow in the Lord. And that's where my focus, I strive to put my focus every day. And just this is a huge opportunity full of just ways to grow in your own skills and to seek the Lord, which I think that's a huge impact it's going to have if you do get married to impact your future children. You'd have a solid biblical foundation in theology, as well as scripture, studying the scripture every single day, so that when you are married and may not have the time to spend with the Lord like you would now, you can still teach your children God's word, which is going to change their lives. And so every day it seems there's never enough time to do all that God's given, but there are times when, you know, doubt may arise, and that's when the word of God is always encouraging me, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. And that those desires aren't just for marriage. Those desires should be for sanctification, for the glory of Christ and his kingdom. So no matter what plan he has for us, each daughter is different. It should be just to seek his glory.
Yeah, Sarah, you raise a good point, and I think a lot of people forget this. Between the ages of 16 and 26, you can be laying foundations for the house that one day will be built. But a lot of people aren't doing anything. They're not growing. They're not preparing themselves spiritually, emotionally, physically for being mothers, for being fathers. And because they don't prepare themselves, they're a mess, and they're not ready to
right.
build those houses that will be built if they get married and do raise a family. Of course, 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. So they're not growing up. They're not getting married, and they're not doing good things with their lives. That's the majority out there. But the rest of us need to really focus on the preparation. I think that's the key. If you're not where you want to be, prepare for where you want to be. You
know, right.
The simple lesson there.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 31 offers a huge amount of encouragement to any girl, just in practical ways that we see the ideal virtuous woman, and we can practice the things that she did on a day-by-day basis, just sewing, cleaning, cooking, speaking with a tongue of kindness, seeking beauty in the Lord. There's so much that we can do to prepare.
And begin your family economy. And contribute to the family economy, and that's, of course, something you've done by producing a book.
Right.
And that's an important part of your family economy, I know. The Family Daughter is the book that Sarah has written, Becoming Pillars of Strength in Our Father's House. On any given day, what's your priorities? What do you do first thing in the morning as you set your priorities for the day?
Oh, the first thing I do is just, you know, turn your heart to the Lord and spend time with him. Scripture memory has been a high priority in my life right now. As well as just seeking God's word. That's one of my highest priorities. And sometimes day-to-day duties can hinder my focus on the Lord, and that's when he has to remind me that that's what's important. Also, our family has a family farm, and so we all work together to in the different aspects of having a home business. So, you know, we milk every day. Web design, there's different projects that I have to do occasionally. And so we all have different entrepreneurial businesses that we have a part in.
Oh, all right. Well, that's all part of the vision. And I think we're all trying to do those sorts of things. And do you also do some studies and do you work with books and working on your intellectual capacities as well?
Yes, sir. I do. I'm still studying. I do study from Whitefield College, which is an online college.
Okay.
I study a lot of theology and mm-hmm. foundational ethics and things like that in those studies, which has been really encouraging and strengthened my faith in what I've been raised in, so it's been encouraging.
Sarah, my guess is people listening to the program are going to think, wow, this is sort of strange, because this is probably, you know, 2% or 0.2% of the population doing what you're doing. Seems a little odd, but in history, it really wasn't that strange, was it? You give some examples of those in history who have effectively, you know, worked the household until they were married. This is really the way things happened for a long, long time until the modern age.
Right. That is so true. Yes, from the biblical ages down to just about 100 years ago, there were daughters, that was their main role, is to support their family and make the economy prosperous and be a huge influence.
You gave the example of Teddy Roosevelt's older sister, Bamy. I'd never read that story before, but evidently she was able to manage the household at some 16 years of age.
Right, and she was physically handicapped, but her father said that she was his right hand. And it probably wasn't just physical, but, you know, just keeping everything running and being an overseer of the household duties.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the book is The Family Daughter, Becoming Pillars of Strength in Our Father's House, the author Sarah Bryant. The book is available at kingsbloomingrose.com. That's kingsbloomingrose.com. And Sarah, you have a regular newsletter or something that you distribute as well. Why don't you tell folks about that?
Yes, sir. We have a quarterly magazine for young girls. It reaches ages 12 through grandmothers, writers of all ages, and encourages young ladies to grow in their walk with the Lord and just bless their families at home. And that's available on our website as well.
Kingsbloomingrose.com. And folks, if you go there right now, you can purchase The Family Daughter by Sarah Bryant at a reduced rate. So just check it out today at kingsbloomingrose.com. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today on Generations.
Thank you so much. It was a privilege.
And you have been listening to the Generations broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And folks, just doing our best to give you a vision for implementing a biblical way of life, something that is not taken very seriously by our population today. It would be unpopular to stand up in the middle of a university classroom and say, hey, friends, I think the vision for womanhood is the meek and quiet spirit, saved by childbearing, learning in silence, and modesty in dress. Yeah! That's the way, that's the vision for womanhood in the 21st century. You're not going to get many people going, amen. I'm sorry, you're just not. This is not the approach that the world wants to take. But it's what God wants. He likes this kind of stuff. He really does. And when you have a young lady that catches the heart of God and really, really loves this and really loves Jesus and really wants to give Jesus what Jesus wants because she loves him. Friends, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family is coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 14 to 16. This conference, sponsored by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, is designed to encourage and equip families through seminars on home education, family discipleship, worldview, vision, and parenting. Visit the exhibit hall featuring 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. Stop by the used curriculum sale. Bring the whole family Friday night for the family film night featuring works by award-winning Christian filmmakers. Come to the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family, June 14 to 16. Register today. Save on pre-conference pricing. For more information, go to check.org. That's check.org.